Welcome to episode 263 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on December 30th, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we wrap up 2021 by providing our tips and tricks for using the Microsoft Cloud Shell for both Microsoft 365 as well as Azure. Scott, we need to get you a dedicated office.
I've been trying. Contractors and everything else are hard to get in these strange times. You know, I bought a bunch of base cabinets to do built-ins in our living room last year, like at least 6 months ago now. And I've been trying to find a carpenter to come in and just install the cabinetry, build me shelves above them, all those kinds of things. And yep. I just can't get anybody to do it. So I've had, you know, basically like thousands of dollars of cabinets sitting in my garage, and that can't continue to go on. So I'm just breaking it down and doing it myself and becoming a DIYer, because that's what we do now. I am my own contractor. I'm learning as I go. Yeah, we were, my wife and I were joking this morning. We installed like half the cabinets yesterday, and we fully expected to walk out this morning and find that they had all shifted and they weren't level and plumb anymore, and they'd all just collapsed and fallen over. But that hasn't happened. So hopefully that continues.
So you're all good. I'm glad. See, I've got to go look at this. Okay, so I have an issue. Certificate is not trusted. Issued by MS Organization Access. I wonder if I can trust this.
Well, trust the certificate.
Well, I apparently need to like always trust it instead of just clicking OK. So I have a certificate issue. I was going to log in because naturally we're going to talk about Microsoft Cloud stuff today. So I'm in the Microsoft Cloud and I always go to sign in, and I'm using passwordless. And the very first thing that pops up and it is I can go ahead, I log in, I enter my credentials, and then I get select a certificate for authentication from the site device.login.microsoftonline.com, need your credentials, and then I have to go like trust whatever certificate they're using on that site. And I don't know why it doesn't trust it. It doesn't expire until 2031. So it has 10 years for expiration. But there's something in that certificate chain that is not trusted.
I don't know what you did there. You probably got rid of a global root or something. Who knows what you do on your devices? Mere mortals like the rest of us don't have these issues.
Prod is the new test for me.
Prod is the new test. You know, one of the best ways to test in prod is using the Cloud Shell.
Ooh, look at that segue. And there are lots of ways to use the Cloud Shell. And lots of tips and tricks we have about using the Cloud Shell.
Ooh, so, I like it.
So should we talk about tips? So what happens? Go on vacation and my tongue gets all twisted and tied up. Talk about tips and tricks using the Cloud Shell today. Because it is the week between Christmas and New Year's, and the news is virtually zero because nobody's... Like, who actually wants to push anything out this week? Everybody's like, don't touch anything so I can work. But really, nobody actually works. They just sit around and pretend they do if they didn't take vacation.
Well, sure, there is that. But why don't we go ahead and get into it? I like talking tips and tricks for Cloud Shell. I think we've talked about Cloud Shell here and there in the past and mentioned a couple things, but this will be a good consolidator, and I bet you and I can probably teach each other something other than your certificate chain is messed up.
I am sure that we can do that. Because yeah, there's lots of different places to use the Cloud Shell, lots of different ways to use the Cloud Shell, lots of different things you can do, I guess, with the Cloud Shell. It's one of those handy tools, and I will be honest, especially being on a Mac, I probably boot into my Windows VM to run PowerShell stuff more than I should because I always forget about the Cloud Shell. Like, maybe this will be good for me, like, to pound into my head that, Ben, you got to start using the Cloud Shell more instead of always going into Windows to run PowerShell.
Yeah. Let's talk tips and tricks for Ben. I'd like it.
All right. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
So do you have a tip or a trick that you would like to educate Ben on today? Should Ben talk about himself in the third person all day?
No. I can guess that. So one of my favorite things to do with the Cloud Shell is recognize that there's some limitations to it, but maybe there's some ways to think about getting around some of those limitations. So I think one of the first ones you might run into is if your default experience is going to the Azure portal and just clicking on the Cloud Shell button, you might think that you can only open up one instance of the Cloud Shell. And there are times when you might want multiple Cloud Shell windows. So it's possible through the Azure portal to open up multiple instances of the Cloud Shell. Like you can open up new tabs that way. Or the other thing that I like to do is go just full screen Cloud Shell. And you can do that by going to the website shell.azure.com. And if you go to shell.azure.com and you just open that up in a tab, and maybe you visit it again and open that in a tab and visit it and open that in a tab, you can open multiple instances of the Cloud Shell, each in their own separate browser window. You can tile them wherever they want, like make that full screen browser window, like whatever you want to do with it, and be able to interact across multiple windows. So that way, if you're trying to maybe like catch the output of one command, and maybe you're doing inline editing with something like the Monaco editor with like the browser version of VS Code, and you want to edit a file in another window, you just pull up two browser windows, you go ahead and log into that session. And that is something that you can totally make happen in a super simple, super easy way. There's still other limitations that are there. Like that doesn't help you get around things like default timeouts for Cloud Shell or anything like that. But it does give you a nice handy way to have multiple versions of the Cloud Shell that aren't locked into like a tabbed interface within the Azure portal. They're all in their own windows. You can, like I said, click, drag, overlay, kind of do whatever you want to do. And if you're a spatial thinker, like you like the spatial window thing, it's a super easy way to get started with it.
Did you know what else you can do to get a full screen view of the PowerShell window if you launch it from the Azure portal?
I mean, you can just click the button.
And you can click the button in the upper right hand corner, and then it just makes it a full screen, kind of like a normal window in Windows.
So you can do that. But one of my issues with opening the Cloud Shell through the Azure portal is It's an overlay on top of the existing screen. So If you want to make your Cloud Shell full screen, well, now it's full screen over the Azure window, like you're trying to browse a resource blade or something like that, versus just popping open a new window or a new tab, going to shell.azure.com. Like you don't even have to worry about it. It has access to all the same resources, all those kinds of things.
Yep. The other thing you can do, so this is another interesting one. I was just playing with it. Like if you are in portal.azure.com in the Cloud Shell and you do want a new session, they also have the button. I'm going to do the button way for all of this. You have the open a new session button above it that, at least in my browser, just opens another tab and it still goes to portal.azure.com and then it goes to #Cloud Shell and opens it as a new tab, full screen. But it is back to your point where it's still just an overlay of PowerShell then in a new tab
on top of the Azure portal.
Yes. Yeah. So you know, you can have your cake and eat it too, depending on how you want to go about doing that. You retain all those capabilities to do things like swap between environments. If you're going between, say, Bash and PowerShell, you still get the restart buttons, change the text size. Like maybe you want one window where the text size is bigger than another one. You've got a set of files that you want to download in one, access from another, like all good, nice and easy to get on board with. Yeah. I like it as just kind of a quick way to get started with it.
Yeah. So we're talking about shell.azure.com and PowerShell in the cloud. Typically, when I am running PowerShell or working with PowerShell, sometimes I'm running it as just ad hoc, go type stuff in and go to town with it. But sometimes I want to like run a script file, run like a PS1 file, or I need to access certain files. Maybe I'm working with like a CSV file and I want to spin through the CSV and pull data out of it. Obviously, the browser, it's not going to be able to just like reach down to my computer and grab random files off of my documents or my downloads or something like that. Do you have any tips and tricks for accessing files or working with files when working with the Cloud Shell?
Yeah, so I think of a couple things. Like if you just have a one-off file that you want to get up, you can, like you want to upload it into your Cloud Shell session, you can make that happen. So you just go ahead and there's an upload button. I think the Cloud Shell supports drag and drop these days. Like you can just do that as well and it'll go ahead and upload into current directory and get it to where it needs to be. Another thing that you can do is if you have lots of files like that that you want to use on a consistent basis, and maybe they're even files that are project or kind of task specific, like maybe you have one set of PowerShell scripts and CSV files that you interact with for one customer, one project, one account, things like that. And then you have another discrete set that you use in another place. One of the things you can think about is how you are going to persist those files using your cloud drive. So you might have forgotten about it if you haven't spun up an Azure Cloud Shell instance in a while, like in a brand new subscription or anything like that. But one of the first things that you do is you actually mount an Azure File Share, which is this persisted file storage that backs your Cloud Shell. And you go ahead and create that in your subscription. You can create it in a kind of a default storage account. You can create it in your own, whatever you want to do. But the cool thing that you can do is you can create multiple Azure Files shares, and then you can use those as their own discrete cloud drives. And it's actually possible to just go ahead and use the cloud drive command from within the Cloud Shell. And you can mount and unmount other cloud drives. So you can switch back and forth and swap back and forth. If you had a bunch of stuff you wanted to upload, you could actually create it in Azure Files, upload it through Azure Files, like maybe upload it through Storage Explorer, use AZ Copy, something like that. And now it's in your cloud drive. Just go ahead and mount that cloud drive over and use it in files or use it in your cloud drive and use it in your Cloud Shell. Use your cloud drive in your Cloud Shell, and then you have access to all those files right there that way.
Yeah, and that would work too. Like when you do cloud drive, and I actually don't know, is your cloud drive personal to you when you launch the Cloud Shell, or is it a shared cloud drive that you get by default for every user in your tenant that uses Cloud Shell?
By default, it's for you. So you launch a new, like you're a brand new user, you just got access to the Azure portal, you know, there's hundreds of admins in your tenancy, whatever. You click the Cloud Shell button for the first time, you're going to get a opportunity to create a unique storage account with an Azure Files file share in it that is just for you. But if you have access to other storage accounts or other shares within existing storage accounts, things like that, you can mount and unmount that. So if you did have something that maybe you wanted to share across a team, you had a shared storage account, like you and I both have RBAC and access rights to the same storage account, we could go back and forth and mount that way as well.
And mount that one. So that would be a good way, like if you had a bunch of admins and you wanted to have a shared script library that any of you want access to, do that as like your Azure Files and mount that one in your session.
There's a bunch of different ways that you could think about doing that one. I don't know if you maybe want to go down that path. Like, one of the things that happens with a lot of scripts, like, you know, we're not always thinking about like indepetence and all those kinds of things up front. So sometimes you might have like a PowerShell script that has a hard-coded parameter. The script doesn't use parameters. So it's got like variables that are hard-coded in it. And I want to change those in my instance, but I don't want to change them in your instance. So maybe something like a persisted share isn't best in that case. Maybe what we want to do is have our scripts stored in like a source code management system. Like maybe we have like a private Git repo or Azure DevOps repo that we share. And if we've got a Git repo or something that's just Git compatible, one of the really cool things about the Cloud Shell is it includes all these built-in commands, like being able to do things like just pulling down a Git repository. So maybe we want to share all our files in a Git repository that way, like all our scripts. And then when you go into your Cloud Shell, you're just going to pull whichever branch or maybe the latest version, whatever that thing is, down into your Cloud Shell. And then the next time you come into it, like maybe I've made some changes in mine and I say, hey, you know, our workflow is that I always make sure to commit those back to the master branch and get them updated and ready to go. Then you just come into yours, you just do a git fetch, right? You're going to refresh and pull the latest, and then you have access to those files that way too. So I think there's a couple different ways to kind of think about going about that.
So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud.
So you said something in there that I'm going to come back to, but I agree. Like, you do need to think through where you want those hosted and how you're going to work with those. But something you said throughout the course of that was that there's a lot of stuff that's already included when you launch the Cloud Shell. And I think that's another, it's kind of a tip, it's a trick. It's just one of those things that is really handy about the Cloud Shell is typically if I'm on my machine, if I'm working on a different machine, setting up a different machine, I have to go through and install a bunch of modules to work with the cloud, both Azure and Office 365 or Microsoft 365. But when you start working with the Cloud Shell, a lot of that stuff, those modules, like you mentioned, all the Git commands are already included there. There's nothing I have to go set up. I don't have to install them. I don't have to import them. And again, it's across Azure and Microsoft 365. So if I launch one of these Cloud Shells in Azure, or I go to shell.azure.com and I want to go run some Microsoft Teams PowerShell, or I want to go run some AZ PowerShell or work with Azure AD, all those modules are already there. And the nice thing is because you're already logged into Azure, you don't have to authenticate. You don't have to go type in credentials. You don't have to do any of the MFA stuff. So for instance, because I like doing Microsoft 365 stuff, I can just go into the Azure Cloud Shell, type connect dash Microsoft Teams, and it will automatically authenticate, log me in. The module's already there. I can go start running commands. There's nothing I need to do to set that up because it's all taken care of already.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. There is a bunch of tooling that's already installed along the way. So you called that out. Like, yes, there's the Office 365 CLI. Teams modules. I don't know. Are the Teams ones there by default? I can't remember. Exchange.
The Teams ones are there by default.
Exchange is there by default. So you've got that kind of just integration that's ready to go. It's not just Microsoft tooling either. There's a bunch of other things that are built in. So maybe you're working with containers. The Docker command is built in there. So if you want to work against an existing Docker repository, things like that, you can totally do that. You can even do like Docker builds and things like that in there if you need to. Kubectl, Helm, that's all there. There are database clients like MySQL and Postgres clients. There's SQL command if you're working with Microsoft SQL. You also have tooling around things like Ansible, Chef, Puppet, if you're doing Terraform, all of that is built in and ready to go. And the other thing I think that maybe IT pros might forget about, but which developers might appreciate, is there's also this broad language support that's built in along the way too. So things like .NET Core pre-installed for you, Go, Java are available to you, Node.js deployed by default, PowerShell, like you mentioned, is there. Python as well. So you get like multiple versions of Python that are available. And like that just smooths everything out. Like you said, if you're looking to hop in really quick, like you need to execute a Python script and you don't have Python in your local client, like, hey, CloudShell's there. It's available to you and it's nice and easy to, you know, just start working with.
Yep. And I keep mentioning PowerShell because I do a lot with PowerShell, but it's not just PowerShell either. It's PowerShell and it's Bash. So you mentioned like the Azure CLI, the Office 365 CLI, Python. If you like working in Bash, you don't like PowerShell. This is not just for PowerShell people with PowerShell modules, but you can also run a Bash shell through Azure Shell and do all your CLI Bashy things.
Yep. So out of the box, you've got Bash, ZSH, SH, like those are all there ready to go for you. You've got PowerShell as well. One of the cool things, or one of the things that I always thought was kind of fun to do was, you know how you have that dropdown where you can switch between a Bash or a PowerShell session for CloudShell, and it looks like it's hopping you over to a new thing? Because it is, it's spinning up a new instance of a CloudShell container for you. But all that tooling, like if you're looking to do, say, Bash and PowerShell in the same session, you can totally do that because the PowerShell version of the CloudShell that you flip to, it's all built on a Linux container at the end of the day. So you have the ability to do all that side by side. So you can go into like even the Bash version of the CloudShell and you can run a PowerShell shell within that version of the Bash shell, a CloudShell that you already spun up and started. So you can do a bunch of like the inception things. But the nifty thing there is you can totally mix and match. You know, I've seen organizations where maybe somebody writes like a deployment script, which is actually a mix of something like the CLI and PowerShell, and they execute all that from Bash script. And the reason they do that is because sometimes there's things you can do in PowerShell that you can't do in the Azure CLI and vice versa. So like it does make sense to mix and match, like depending on your deployments and what those look like, kind of like a pain and weird to have them all together, but you can do it. And just having that flexibility there makes it super simple to be able to kind of make that flip back and forth kind of thing. And then because you mentioned it, like having all this tooling installed and maybe you like always don't know it's available locally or things like that. One of the other things you might want to think about is if you are a heavy user of the CloudShell, is ways that you can use your CloudShell locally. And there's a couple different like incantations or variations of that that are available to you. One is being able to use CloudShell through maybe like tooling like VS Code. And what you're doing is you're actually spinning up like a remote session to a CloudShell running instance in the background, you know, that's all emulated down to you. Like that's one way to do it. The other thing is there's a GitHub repo that's out there. Like Microsoft has open sourced how they build the CloudShell. So it's all just a Docker container. Like if you want to go do a Docker build or you want to pull that out of the MCR repo and just run the latest version of the CloudShell locally, you can do that too. Like you can see how it's built. You can see all the tooling that's going into it. You know, if you run it locally, like in your own Docker container, there are some differences. Like you mentioned auto authentication, like that's not there. The whole Azure Drive kind of thing, you know, that some stuff's different, but all the tooling and everything else is there. So you can totally make it work. Super flexible to get hands-on with that and start to make it into whatever kind of tool you want it to be.
Yeah, and we'll put some links to all of those in the show notes. But like even doing it from Visual Studio Code, since you mentioned that, is super simple as long as you don't have certificate problems like me.
Like Ben.
Yeah, like Ben. Because all you really need is the Azure extension for Visual Studio Code. You go ahead and sign into that. Launch your command. What is it? Your command window, I guess. And then you have right there an Azure command for open PowerShell in Cloud Shell. So it's like five steps to go start running Cloud Shell locally in Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, it's not heavy at all.
Yeah. Lots of different ways you can use it there. Recently, and we mentioned this before, and I like going back to it because I like Office 365, but you can also launch this. We've talked about launching it from the Azure portal. We've talked about launching it from shell.azure.com. The other way you can actually do this is if you're in, I know they have it in the Microsoft 365 Admin Center, so admin.microsoft.com. They have it in the Teams Admin Center now, admin.teams.microsoft.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner, they have a link up there to launch Cloud Shell right within your Office 365 environment. The only thing I will say is it's still using like those Azure storage accounts and Azure files that you mentioned. So you do the first time you run it, still have to have that Azure subscription on the background that Cloud Shell in Office 365 can use for that storage account and all of that. So you don't really get Cloud Shell like without having that Azure subscription associated with that Azure AD tenant as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is an Azure thing at the end of the day. So yes, you do need those storage accounts and that kind of base Azure deployment ready to go.
Yep. Just another quick link to get to it if you're in your Microsoft 365 Admin Center and need a quick script to run. What other tips and tricks did we have? Was there anything else? You talked about the AZ find command. This is not necessarily Azure CLI specific, but this kind of led us down this hole when we were talking earlier.
Oh, yeah. So we can maybe kind of close out on that one.
Wrap up with AZ find.
Yep. So the other thing is, like, you have access to all this tooling that we've talked about. So you have access to both Azure PowerShell, you have access to a PowerShell shell. You also have access to the Azure CLI, which is built into Cloud Shell. So I think it's worth taking the time to understand, like, you know, what the tooling can give you. Like, if you're somebody who's comfortable with just PowerShell and you've only been looking at Azure PowerShell and you've never been looking at the Azure CLI, like, maybe you want to go look at the CLI because features and functionality can be different at times. Like, sometimes there are things that you will want to do in the CLI that you don't want to do in PowerShell, just like there's things that you might want to do through, like, the native REST interface for ARM. Like, it might be easier for you to slam some JSON against management.azure.com than it is to actually do it in the CLI or PowerShell. Like, that's just like where we're at with things. But one of the cool things within the Azure CLI that you can think about doing is like discoverability. I think most of us know how to do like a git command and PowerShell, and we can kind of search for the thing that we're going to search for. And then you get that nice documentation, which can give you verbose examples and all that. But one of the things that happens there is you're seeing examples as they're written in the documentation. You're not always seeing them written in the way that maybe they're used in the real world. So how do other users who are out there, how do they go ahead and spin things up? What are they doing along the way to use this tooling? And one of the commands that's built into the Azure CLI is this command called azfind. So if you're not familiar with azfind, it's kind of, if you go read the documentation for it, it's sold as this AI-driven way to go ahead and find commands. But it's actually a little bit more than that. So one of the things that happens is when you use azfind, so you just go out, you open a Cloud Shell, you go into the CLI, so you do azfind, open quote, And then maybe you look like you're interested in VM commands. So open your quote, go ahead and do az find, open quote, az VM, and then go ahead and close your quote and push it out that way. Awesome. And what that'll do is it will return a listing of commands to you that other users of the Azure CLI or just straight up ARM have been using. So like, what are the most common commands that are being used with AZ VM? That'll all just come straight through the AZ find command for you. So it's a nice, like, easy discoverable way to not only say like, what can I do with this thing? Like, show me the documentation for it, but also show me how it's being used by other users, which I think is like sometimes even more powerful than the documentation itself, because documentation says things one way and then there's how we actually use it in the rest of the world, the rest of our lives.
So when it's doing that, like for instance, you do AZ find storage and it's like, here are the most common ways to use storage. It's using the AI. Where is it going out and looking for that to find the most common ways it's used?
I don't know. Maybe there's got to be like a backing repository or something for it, right? But you know, if you think about it, like anytime somebody is using PowerShell or we're using the portal or we're using the CLI, we're all firing off commands against the management plane, against management.azure.com. And all of that telemetry can be aggregated, it can be put together. So if it's all stored someplace and there's a way to surface it back to us as users, that's a pretty powerful thing.
Got it. So this isn't like going out and crawling the web or something for how people are using it. It's using some of that, most likely using some of that backend telemetry from that management plane to see what people are running against the Azure management plane.
That's my understanding of the way it works. Like if I'm wrong there, like reach out to me through the somebody contact form. You know, I'm available on Twitter.
Right.
Let me know.
That makes sense because I know they have something like that too with the Office 365 CLI where they can pull different stats about commands people are running and what the most common ones are and that type of stuff. So that would make sense. That is starting to click now in my head. So I would make that same assumption.
Yep.
So
nice and easy and super simple to get started with. Like I said, if you're into like discoverability on the PowerShell side, like that might be a nice, easy way for you to get started there.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I know you have a dinner to go get to. We want to keep you in the good graces of your wife.
Yes, we do.
This holiday season. So I will let you go grab some dinner and we will talk to you next year.
It one will more be next day. Year.
Yes. It'll be next year before everybody hears this, but we are still chatting yet in December of 2021.
Cool. Well, so as always,
enjoy your New Year's Eve. Yep. Thank you. Enjoy dinner, New Year's Eve. Have a good New Year's. And we'll talk to you in 2022. And hopefully it is way better than 2020 and 2021 have been.
One can only hope.
One can only hope it goes up. All right. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.